Welcome, ladies and gents, and our friends beyond the binary. We're the first ever globe-trotting, visually stimulating podcast on the airwaves.
Before the floats, before the flags, before the anthems, the sponsors, and the rainbow crosswalks, there were queer people with nothing left to lose and everything to prove. So they didn't just march, they made history.
Hello loves, it's Saraya Vivian. I'm your official tour guide for our new show, Pride This Way, produced by Pillars of Change Media. For years, I've had the best seat in the house for Pride festivals around the world, from Manchester to Maspalomas and everywhere in between, and amplify the real stories that breathe life into Pride. Every stream, every subscriber directly funds our community around the globe. We're not just covering the party, loves, we're paying it forward. There's only one way to see the world, Pride This Way.
Is this thing on? Are we live yet?
Hey everyone, this is Saraya Vivian from Pride This Way, and I'm your international tour guide, coming to you from the north of England, or as we say, from Yorkshire. So today I've gathered the city ambassadors, and we're having the best chat as always, because we're all friends. But I really want to talk about, you know, the protests, Jason, Conley, Tara, everyone else that's involved with Pride This Way, about the experiences that you've had in your own places. I mean, you know, Conley, you're from Ireland. Jason, you're from New York in America. We all know that Pride is a protest and we still have to share our stories. Conley.
Hey everyone, I am Conleth Cain and I'm an independent singer-songwriter from Northern Ireland based in London. And I'm going to be co-hosting Pride This Way in the United Kingdom at some of the best Pride celebrations in the world. So nice to be here at the table and to basically just talk about what it was like growing up in Northern Ireland, because as a kid, first of all, I was a Catholic. So we were basically put into tribes in Northern Ireland. You were Catholic or you were Protestant. And in my hometown, there was basically a line down the middle of the town. Yeah, Catholics on one side, Protestants on the other side. So from a very, very early age, I struggled with identity because there was already the other person over at the other side of the town. And then as I got older, I started to realize, of course, I was gay. I got to the age of around 12, 13, and I recognized that I was gay and I didn't know what gay was. I was attracted to males and I was struggling with the partition of communities in Northern Ireland. And all of a sudden I had this other thing that was making me be separated from other people.
Hi, I'm Jason. I'm your New York City ambassador coming to you from the Big Apple. I've been involved in a lot of prides during my life in 30 years here in New York. In particular, I've been in a lot of fundraising as well too. I've worked with AMFAR, God's Love We Deliver, and I've kind of done the back end of Pride. So all the fun that we're having comes from my shoulders.
So, Jono, where are you joining us from today?
Barcelona, but I will be co-hosting the show in Madrid, so giving a little bit of Spanish salsa to the vibes.
Guapo.
Oh, gracias, guapísima.
And where are you joining us from then, Muffy?
I am in New Orleans, Louisiana at the moment, but I'm from Houston. I did drag there for about 8 years, and I lived there for about 12. I'm originally from Chicago, so I've been all over the place.
Tell us where you are, Tara, what you're up to.
I'm Tara McDonald. I woke up in Manchester. I'm on a tour at the moment, so this has worked out so perfectly. This is my day off, and I'm so excited about World Pride. I'll be singing the World Pride anthem. It's a cover of John Farnham's You're the Voice, because last year I was working at World Pride in Washington, D.C., and everything that's just going on politically right now, I just thought we don't really need another love song. We need a song about protest. So that's why I chose to cover You're the Voice. And I'll be working with Pride This Way at World Pride in Amsterdam this August. And I can't wait.
The hosts are about to watch the following archival footage for the very first time.
In 1966, Detective Sorensen warns schools that queer people are sick, dangerous, and unfit to be around children.
There may be some in this auditorium. There may be some here today that will be homosexual in the future. There are a lot of kids here. There may be some girls that'll turn lesbian. We don't know. But it's serious. Don't kid yourselves about it. They can be anywhere. They can be judges, lawyers. We ought to know. We've arrested all of them. So if any one of you have let yourself become involved with an adult homosexual or with another boy, and you're doing this on a regular basis, you better stop quick. Because one out of three of you will turn queer. And if we catch you involved with a homosexual, your parents are going to know about it first. And you will be caught. Don't think you won't be caught. Because this is one thing you cannot get away with. This is one thing that if you don't get caught by us, you'll be caught by yourself. And the rest of your life will be a living hell.
It's weird about speaking to children that young about having sexual relationships with older men, I guess, because it's mainly men and young boys in the footage, which is like that old stereotype about pedophilia. Do you know what I mean? Like trying to bring in a completely different subject.
You know, yeah. I just don't get it.
No, it's really hardcore the way he's talking to the kids, but you can see their reaction on the kids' faces. Like, it's even too much for them.
Yeah, like, frightened. They're frightened. He would frighten me.
How do they figure the one out of three? How do they get that particular statistic in that particular time? Like, it's all about the rhetoric of what they're saying is going to be the truth with no facts behind them. That drives me insane.
Even the way he's speaking to the kids, I mean, it's so fear-based, saying that if you are queer, your whole life is going to be a living hell. I just find it really abhorrent.
Watching it made me feel incredibly uneasy, because when you watch material like that, you know it's in the past and it's history. However, there is such a rise in far-right attitudes throughout the entire world that it does make me feel concerned. And that's why Pride is so very important in this day and age.
It's just how far has everyone come since then, which is obviously great, but there's still a lot to do because there is still that kind of dynamic out there as well. But to actually turn round and say things like that is just the reason why we have to continue to fight and to do all the protests at the Prides to make everybody realise, Jason, what is actually going on.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what's going on right now is a Pride This Way podcast.
Well, we're all a family, aren't we? And that's what it's all about. That is what Pride This Way is all about.
100%.
100%. So, Muffy, you know, some of your local prides, tell us a little bit about that, where you've performed at your local prides currently and some of the experiences that you've had.
It was a great experience. Before that, I had just been to Pride as a bystander. And it just feels so good to be around people that get you. And like, they know the mission, they know, you know, you don't have to explain yourself. You can just show up and be naturally, authentically yourself and not worry about being judged or about having to explain yourself. Like, it's just so refreshing to be in a space where you're with like-minded people, and it's just a given. It's not anything you have to ask for.
Jono, do you see anything like that? Because being in Spain, it's, you know, LGBTQ plus, our family out there, it, you know, everybody just wants a good time.
Yeah, there is a sense of like things just being a lot more freer in Spain. Like, everybody comes here to have a great time anyway, regardless of whether you're LGBTQ plus or if you're just straight. You know, so many people just come here to enjoy the weather and the food and the beaches and everything like that. So there's a lot more of a chilled atmosphere here in general. But one thing I will say is that just because politics are always influenced by, you know, what's going on globally, I think that America has had an influence on the rest of the world. I think that there never used to be a sort of a worry about drag queens like reading stories to kids or whatever, or just being near kids. People would bring kids to drag shows and things like that. But there has been more of an uptake in the conversation from people now to be like, oh, should we let our kids see a drag queen. And yeah, I might wear something a bit more skimpy than maybe what Muffy might wear, just because like I love to wear a bikini. But you know, you can take your kids to the beach and they can see anybody in a bikini, or they can see anybody in much less than a bikini. So yeah. I don't see what difference it is if I'm wearing a bikini and a wig, or if I'm just on the beach in a Speedo.
What the honest to God truth is it's so wild that people don't realize that in drag, especially in the art form, we are more covered than someone on the beach, because we have 15 pairs of tights on. Our butt and our hips are not real. It is from the couch carved out. I mean, we are wearing so many layers that to get, people are just so worried about people's genitals these days, and it is wild. And to get to a drag queen's genitals, you have 17,000 layers before you could get there. I think drag queens would be the safest people to be around in that way, personally.
Plus you're tucked as well. You're tucked.
I don't even remember what's happening down there, because it is so, it's gone. Like that is not, nothing is real. The boobs aren't real. The butt's not real. And if you're a trans performer and it is real, like that is a different kind of performance. And those queens are not going out performing in parking lots and in public dressed like that. Like, we have discretion. We're not dumb people. We know what's appropriate. We know it's not appropriate. We're adults making art. Like there is an audience for everything.
Also, as well, at the end of the day, all my drag queen friends, and I'm sure you say this, Tara, they've all had to learn not to have a toilet break for like 7 and 8 hours.
Yeah.
100%. You know, that is dedication. And I've got to say, all the drag queens that I've worked with, they do it right. The drag queens, they are so committed to their look, the way they are, and really respectful.
I think with drag and trans people, you're so visible.
Yeah.
And I think it's just so incredibly brave. I mean, it's a stunning art form, drag. I've been in love with it since the 90s.
In Texas, Pride got kind of scary for a second there, because in 2023, Texas Senate passed the Bill 12, which was aimed at restricting sexually oriented performances. And we all knew that that was kind of a target for like drag and trans people.
Where is the line between what's allowed or not allowed?
That's the question civil rights attorneys are asking after the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals lifted an injunction that was blocking Texas Senate Bill 12, often called the Texas drag ban. The law, passed in 2023, restricts what it calls sexually oriented performances on public property or in front of minors.
So what the bill does is it describes very specific obscene acts that would be offensive in front of a child.
Supporters say it's about protecting children.
Drag queens are not for kids.
Civil rights groups argue the language of SB 12 is vague and unconstitutional.
And so it was really scary for a while. We had to perform in buildings that had only window covers. There were any open windows, we had to like avoid children pretty much at all costs. And there were like fines, I believe, that like if someone complained that there was like a drag queen, so they just decided like all drag was sexually oriented, like we're strippers. And for me, that's really wild, because my drag is not sexual. I come from a place of like comedy and silliness. And so there was a time where you could go to the grocery store after a gig and have a face on, and now all of a sudden, you know, like you're like terrified, because at that time the police or a person could report you, and it really just was their word against your word, and it was so broad that there really was no safe way to do it. And so it almost like felt like we went back a billion years in what we've built, and that was a terrifying time.
This episode is brought to you by HB London, the premier luggage for Pride This Way. Visit hblondon.uk to learn more.
I always remember growing up before the Good Friday Agreement came into place in Northern Ireland. And I was very, very open as a kid. I loved my theatre. My mum and dad were very supportive of me, thankfully, to express my creative ambitions as a child. And I will never forget, this is a story I hope you guys like. I was on my way to rehearsals and my mum, we turned a corner and we were driving down a street and there was a line of policemen and army men. And this was during the heights of the July Troubles in Northern Ireland. Every year around the 12th of July, everything kicks off for about 2 weeks. It's like a war zone. And this just became very normalised to me as a child. But I was on my way to the dress rehearsal for Guys and Dolls and I had my tap shoes on and I had my costume on. And my mum said to me, "Conleth, I don't think we're going to get through here tonight." And I said, "Well, but what we have to get through, I've got my dress run. I've got my dress run of Guys and Dolls. We need to get to the rehearsal." And the policeman came down to the car and my mum wound down the window and my mum said, "Can we get through? I need to get my son to his rehearsal." And the policeman said, "Oh, no, we can't let you through. There's a lot of trouble in Portadown tonight." Portadown is a town where a lot of trouble happened in Northern Ireland. So I got out of the car and I marched around to the policeman and I said, "You have to let me through. I've got a solo and tonight they are giving me my microphone and I need to get through." So I'm there in front of this bunch of policemen, not giving a hoot about what is going on in Northern Ireland. And I just was so angry at the fact that I couldn't get through to my dress rehearsal. But I spent my life at school not fitting in on the football team. And for once in my life, I found my strength. And all of a sudden, where I was growing up was stopping me getting to the rehearsal. And I felt very comfortable in that creative space with the dancers and the singers. And all of a sudden, the fact that I couldn't get there due to the trouble in Northern Ireland was a real standout memory for me as a child. And we had to do a U-turn and go home. And it was the next week, actually, that I came out to my mum because she saw something different at me during that time. And I felt very comfortable in coming out to her at such a young age because it was very evident at that point that I was different. I was creative. I didn't want to play football. And yeah, so that's what it was like growing up in Northern Ireland as a gay kid.
For me, it's very interesting too. I've lived in New York for about 30 years. So you feel like in a sense, you kind of grow up here. I'm from the Midwest. So when I moved to New York, I kind of like feel like my life started over and I had like my gay life cups. So I kind of grew up around this. What's so interesting, yeah, with Stonewall being such a focus. Now there were many, many, many different activities and such that happened before Stonewall, as we all know. But Stonewall really kind of ignited everything. So it kind of brought the whole community together. And what I find as I kind of grew up in this little world is that the younger generation kind of is forgetting what was happening, you know, back then. And it makes me feel like this is kind of like where I can get my voice, right? So what really makes this all particular time really important, especially in New York City, is the administration that's illegal for like gay pride flags to be flown in national parks. Back in 2016, Stonewall became a national park, right? The park in front of the bar became a national park. So all of this activity has drawn more attention for us as a community to get involved. And that's what I'm feeling what's happening now is people are now responding, "Hey, we need to have our voice out. We need to really make a stand." So I feel like there's a resurgence of people coming out to talk about the history of Stonewall, the history of our revolution, the history of how everyone's coming together to really spread that sense of love and unity. And that's where we're at right now. And that makes me feel really proud to be not only involved in this particular podcast, but as an older gay man with prefer to teach the children, if you will, right? So as New York can be considered the birthplace of pride, we now notice it's popping up in cities all around the world, isn't it, guys?
We are in a great place in our lives where local prides are starting to pop up, but we are also in a time and era where social media is so prevalent in everyone's lives, and this gives a lot of people an opportunity to express their hatred, their vitriol online. So we're a bit more exposed to that, and I think those local prides become victim to that with local newspaper, online articles, etc. But actually, when you go to experience them, it's nothing but joy, love, community. And I think the more of those we see, the more Pride will be a celebration throughout the world, and it will become less of a protest eventually.
What's going on in Spain, Jono?
Pues gracias por preguntar. I'm really excited about Madrid Pride, actually, because it doesn't go over two weekends, but it does go over a long weekend. There's lots of parties. And as Soraya mentioned before, in Spain, it's really family orientated as well. Like, loads of people will bring their kids out to enjoy the parade, to see the drag queens, to see all the colors, and to just really get like a really nice community feeling. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'll tell you what though, Madrid is having a muy bien guardado secreto de los actores de las que van a actuar. The people that are going to perform are being very well, it's a very closely guarded secret because they haven't announced any of the headliners. So they're keeping us like really on edge about who they're going to be. But one thing that's great is that in Madrid Pride, they always really, really do support local talent.
Wonderful.
So a great thing is that we have obviously got Drag Race Spain here. So they do highlight loads of the girls that have been on the show. So they all get their moment to come out. But as well as that, there's lots of opportunity for girls that haven't been on the telly to come out and have their moment as well. So it's a really good mix of local queens and well-known drag queens from TV. So I know that Madrid is going to serve it and we're going to get given some really great acts.
Soraya, what is happening in Manchester? Tell me about it.
Well, you're just referencing Amsterdam, girlfriend, your sister will be there with Pride This Way. So I'm really looking forward to that. So what's happening in Manchester? Well, this year in 2026, all the bar owners, they're taking it back to the village, which is great. More community-led. Basically, we're following the Yellow Brick Road. Follow, 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 follow. Yeah, I can tell you one of the headliners. We both know her, the lovely Natalie Cascada, which is great. She'll be smashing it out there. There's quite a few local sponsors. I know that Nando's have got involved and what they're going to do. All the proceeds that they give out with their chicken. So we'll be licking our lips, won't we? Everything that they do, they're going to be inviting everybody into the village and all the proceeds are going back to Manchester Pride Village. The ticket sales, there's no VIP, everybody pays the same, bringing it back to the roots, back in the heart of the village. I've been so fortunate to perform at Manchester for so many years, and this year I will be hosting the main stage along with Danny Beard, obviously referencing RuPaul's Drag Race. The last time I was in Amsterdam, me and Danny was on them waterways together. So, Muffy, tell me where your fabulosity is going to be then in 2026.
Okay, well, I'm going to be here in New Orleans, and there is a little hidden gem. It is called Southern Decadence. It's not so hidden. It's a huge celebration. They actually refer to it as Gay Mardi Gras. So it started in the early 70s as like a small gathering, and now it's like huge. It looks like Mardi Gras. There's like a billion people on Bourbon. Bars like Oz New Orleans that I work at are involved. It's huge. So that's going to be over a Labor Day weekend. It's usually a Labor Day celebration. It's on September 4th through the 7th in New Orleans. Some of the people that are performing is they have some DJs, Chichi LaRue, if you've ever heard of them, Danny Verde. Yeah. And then Sasha Colby, the Drag Race icon, will be there. And there will be the Wicked, Wild and Wet Go-Go Boys performing. And that'll be throughout like Oz New Orleans and Bourbon Pub, which are right across the street from each other. They're like iconic gay bars in the quarter. And it's going to be really cool. One of the Grand Marshals is Sam Smith. No, but it's going to be so amazing. And I'm really excited for it.
What's happening here in America, especially in New York, I guess they call it like the birthplace of pride because of Stonewall,
yeah,
is there's been a really big full circle moment because as we're talking about gay prides kind of like catching up in every city, the New York gay pride since 2019, I believe, there's actually been two Pride marches that happen in New York City. One is like your normal Pride, all the celebration, all the love, everything we're kind of used to all around the world. And we were talking about this the other day, how like the younger generation, people younger than myself that want to go and party and have fun, forget where Pride was from. Yes. So since 2019, the Queer Liberation March has been that march to remind people that Pride started as a protest. Okay. But it was a march. It was a protest. Let's not lose focus of that.
This is a little pocket of light and joy that hopefully we can inspire people to be more proactive, but also give people some hope. Because when the laws haven't got your back, your community does. And that's what I was taught in when I was at Washington, D.C. last year. I spoke to one of the activists there and they were saying, well, the laws haven't looked after us before, but the community got us through. And so Pride This Way is a really important step in giving people community, especially in places if you're rural and you don't have your chosen family yet. We would love to be your chosen family. Pride This Way is your chosen family if you haven't found them yet. And this could be a really lovely stepping stone for people to be more brave and to meet their people, basically. Don't miss episode 2 when we get a glitterfied glimpse at Latrice Royale's Grand Marshal experience in Miami Beach and her pushback on right-wing extremists from Tallahassee, Florida. The city may have bulldozed their rainbow crosswalk, but Miami Beach brought it back, brick by brick. Because honey, we're not going anywhere but Pride This Way.
Join us bi-weekly for a new episode.
Pride This Way, serving joy in every time zone.
Subscribe, download, pay it forward.
Pride This Way's Pay It Forward program supports over 375 Pride organizations around the world.